Go, Emma. Thanks. Well, do you know what? I'm just going to dive right in because I have 10 minutes less than I was told I had. Okay, so this morning I'd like us to ask two questions of ourselves. I'm just going to give you a little idea of where we're going. In a moment, I'm going to put a couple of passages of scripture up. And they actually relate to us as a body. But we're not going to actually get to them until later on. Okay, so I want you to bear them in mind. But they are us as a body. And I want to ask us two questions, really. One, who will we be? Actually, what vision will we serve? So, look at this. Okay, I haven't got my glasses on, so I can't actually see that way. So I'm just going to read here. Okay, in Deuteronomy chapter 3, I commanded you at that time, the Lord your God has given you this land to take possession of it. But all your able-bodied men armed for battle must cross over ahead of the other Israelites. However, your wives, your children, your livestock, I know you have much livestock, may stay in the towns I've given you until the Lord gives rest to your fellow Israelites as he has to you. And they too have taken over the land that the Lord your God is giving them across the Jordan. After that, each of you may go back to the possession I have given you. Now I'm going to read a different passage. Looks remarkably similar. To the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. This passage relates to a period of time where the Israelites have taken a little bit of the land, but not all of it. They've still got to cross the Jordan and go and claim the rest of the land. And it's to a very specific portion, 2.5 tribes. And I believe we're called to be the 2.5 tribes. And I want you to bear that in mind. How many of you recognize this statement? That's encouraging, I think. Maybe the rest of you are just slow to put your hands up. This is actually our vision, to see 1,000 devoted Christ followers transforming lives and communities across Manchester and beyond by 2025. Now, if you're like me, the numbers don't really do it for you. But this is our vision. It's more than just here. And when we moved into this building, Andy spoke a word called welcome to the aircraft carrier. How many of you remember that? Quite a few of you would have been there. Yep. And we've been looking recently as a leadership team at the prophetic spoken over us. And this word, the aircraft carrier, is a significant part of the prophetic spoken over us, along with a whole load of others. But actually, there's far too much for me to cover this morning. It would be too much. So I'm going to look this morning at the aircraft carrier. I think it does link a little to the lights across Manchester, the chandelier across Manchester that we're also called to be. But let's look at the aircraft carrier. This is a glorious aircraft carrier. You can see that it is built for purpose. Its main purpose is to get planes within reach of the action. And it's a massive strategic resource. I know because I have been researching aircraft carriers in the last week. But there's something it's definitely not. It's not a cruise ship. They're very, very, very different. One is built for pleasure. It's all about the passengers. And let's imagine that that's us. It's about our entertainment, our comfort. our desires and dreams. The ship is there to serve our purposes. This is not there to serve our purposes as passengers. You know what? An aircraft carrier carries no passengers unless they've been rescued or they've been incapacitated in some way. The crew are on it, not just for a jolly around the world. They're on it for purpose. They're skilled. They're highly trained. They know where they serve. And they're serving a higher purpose. Who are you? Who am I this morning? Am I passenger or am I crew? Passengers. You know what? They look really different to crew. Okay, I haven't got my glasses on, I can't see. The passengers are there to be served. They're spectators. If you look at the pictures of cruise ships, I've never actually been on a cruise, okay, so I don't really know, but I looked at a cross-section of a cruise ship. Oh, my goodness. It had pools. It had stages. It had sunbathing areas. It has the works. It has everything you could possibly need for your entertainment. And you spectate. You're there for your own benefit. You're looking to be entertained. You do what you want to do. You're not under orders. You can just kick back and relax, and you're along for the ride. You're going to see the sights on the cruise. And do you know what? If you're not enjoying it, then you can get off at the next port. As crew, it's very, very different. You're trained. In fact, you've been really well trained. You're ready for battle. You're aware of your purpose. You're committed to your team. You're loyal to your king. You're not going anywhere unless you're going on that ship. Now, I've had a little bit of experience of sailing. I've never been on one of the big ships, a ferry maybe. But actually, I don't like big ships. I like small ones. And so I did a lot of sailing. I come from Plymouth, and I had the great privilege of having friends who had yachts, albeit small ones, but yachts nevertheless. And I had the privilege of having my own dinghy that I used to sail, and I used to race it every week. And I've had every single kind of sailing experience that you can have in Plymouth Sound and a little bit outside, not too far because I'm not that adventurous. I have been on a yacht and I have been a passenger. And oh my goodness, do I remember that day. It was sunny. That's memorable in itself. And do you know what? I had my swimming costume on. I had no life jacket on. I was there on the yacht. I was sunbathing on the yacht because I had no responsibility. I wasn't sailing it. I wasn't the helm. I wasn't the crew. They didn't need me for anything. I was just there to enjoy myself, lying on the yacht. You know what? The sail moves the boat, but it really got in the way that day for me. I had to keep moving to find the sunshine. And, you know, and they would tack. They would just like chase the wind. They'd be going. And it really, do you know what? It didn't suit my purposes. I wanted to sunbathe. I got a lot of sunbathing in that day. And guess what? I got really sunburnt. If I'd been sailing, I'd have been a bit more covered up and I wouldn't have got sunburnt. If I'd been actually purposeful, that wouldn't have happened to me. And you know what? I really enjoyed that day. But the most memorable times for me for sailing were when I was in a position of responsibility, when I was responsible for either crewing or helming. As a crew, oh my goodness, I knew where we were going. We were going wherever my helm took me. And I was serving at the helm's discretion. I was there doing what I was told to do when I was told to do it. And you know what? It was exhilarating. Because I had a purpose. I was responsible for making us go as fast as we possibly could when it was time to put the spinnaker up. I was responsible for helping balance that boat so that we would be going fast where we were going, particularly if we were racing. And when I was the helm, I was responsible for it all. And it's so exciting. It's terrifying at times, but it's so exciting when you're playing your role. I think you caught that off Sue. And the others, actually, as they stood here, it's so exciting when you're stepping out and you're in your role as crew, as an active participant on the journey. Now, these are all, you know, I can talk about my sailing experience. We can talk about the aircraft carriers. They're kind of different analogies. And the analogy only stretches so far because we're not military. We're family as well. We're all sorts of different things before God. So serving as crew, what does it look like here? Well, I want to give you some examples, and I'm just about to embarrass some people, and I'm so sorry. Some of you I've warned beforehand, some not so much. Serving, I want to talk about how serving as crew on a Sunday might look like. Okay, I'm not going to just stick to Sundays, but I just want to start there. I think there are some really, really obvious and excellent crew members here, and I could name a whole load of you. But one stands out for me. When I come in and Norman is on welcome, I encounter somebody who is working in their skill set and in their gifting, because Norman, he knows how to welcome. He'll give you a hug, he'll tell you a joke. And you know what? You feel really welcome. He's there and he's serving. I've watched as Ify and Emeka have come into the church recently and how they've just come in and, do you know what, got serving. And I love it when I see Emeka up here on the worship team and Emeka at Alpha. You're just getting in, you're getting stuck in and you're serving. I'm aware that we've got extra crew on board. Coming prepared on a Sunday morning makes all the difference. When we gather to worship, it makes such a difference if we come full and ready, that we've encountered Jesus for ourselves beforehand. And we're coming here, we're coming to serve, because we're here to worship the Lord together, but we each have something to bring. There's no one here without purpose, but it's not limited to Sundays. Our Sundays would look really, really different, you know, if we all turned up full, because we'd each be bringing something. In fact, it would be a bit of a bun fight at the front. That'd be great, as long as I wasn't leading. This is an everyday thing, this whole crewing business. How many of you go shopping? Come on. Come on, I know there's more than that. Have you lost the use of your arms? There's lots of us that go shopping. Some of us do it a little bit more than others. How many of you notice when you're at the checkout and the staff who are serving you, they're just talking to one another? Oh my goodness. It makes the experience so different. However, when they turn around and talk to you, when you get the opportunity to engage with them, it's a better experience, isn't it? Well, I wanted to, Andy's told this story about Johnny the bagger, and I'm just going to quickly tell you a few little bits of it. So it's a favourite story of mine, actually. Johnny the bagger worked at a grocery store. This is America, so some of the terminology is different. And one day he went to a training event led by a speaker named Barbara, and she was talking about how people make a difference. And we all know that. We know people make a difference. Now, Johnny the bagger had Down syndrome, and he was just there. He's 19 years old, and he's bagging, and he was wondering what on earth he could do to make a difference. And he had this idea that he would write a thought for the day down on a piece of paper, and that he would include it. He signed each one, he'd include it in the bag, and he would tell people that he was doing that as he bagged their groceries. And a month later, the store manager called Barbara and said, "Barbara, you won't believe what's happened here. I was making my rounds, and when I got to the cashier's, the line at Johnny's checkout was 3 times longer than anyone else's. It went all the way down the frozen food aisle." And he got on the loudspeaker. He asked, you know how they say, "Staff to checkout, staff to checkout." He got staff to checkout. No one moved, because they all wanted to be in Johnny the bagger's line. And the reason for that is because we want our souls fed. People want their souls fed. And we need words that will feed our souls. And actually, a word, a smile, can make all the difference to someone. We are crew. We are on duty. Even when we're asleep, actually, we could be on duty. We could be ready. Because people need us, and wherever we are called to make a difference. Now, there's a chap in Tesco's here called Frank. Tesco's in sale. I go to Frank's checkout, regardless of how long it is now, because Frank smiles at me. Frank will talk to me. I really like him. And he's so warm and friendly. It's all right, there's nothing to worry about. I don't like him like that. But he's lovely. And I've been to their customer services 3 times now to say, I just want to commend Frank to you. And now, when I get there, they say, is it about Frank? I go, yeah, it's about Frank. He's awesome. You need to let the manager know. Because he does me good when I meet him. Now, there are loads of people here who exemplify that same virtue, that sense of carrying Jesus, having a sense of his presence and serving where they are. So many people are going to be cross with me, but I'm going to name a few of you. Andrea Leach. Now, I'm choosing Andrea because she's my friend, and so she has to forgive me. Andrea Leach is a teaching assistant, and she goes above and beyond. And I encountered her one day. I was like, why aren't you in work? It's a school day. And she'd been given a half day because the staff had gone to the head teacher and said, please will you do something for Andrea to acknowledge all the extra that she puts in here. Andrea's been nominated for Teaching Assistant of the Year award by her school, and they had to surprise her with that kind of nomination because they knew that she wouldn't turn up for assembly if she knew in advance. And there are others, there's loads. Like, I went to the hospital the other day, Pauline Giles greeted me in the door. She's there showing people where to go so that, you know, when you're there and you're confused, you have a friendly face waiting for you. Daisy Seller in Eccles. You know, Daisy serves relentlessly. You know what she's got? She meets regularly with a girl who she's kind of been put with through Safer Families. And she takes this young lady out, spends time with her, and is actually sowing into her the good things. Paul Newbold. He helps head up our... He heads up our kids' club. But he works in prisons. He's out there doing the stuff. Helen Allen. We all know Helen. She's larger than life. Helen is... Do you know what? Even in the midst of trials of her own, she's out there finding opportunities to introduce people to Jesus. Whether it's in the business community or when she was having chemo, out with people who are in the same position as her. It starts where we are, or it doesn't start at all. We are crew wherever we are. We're each called to be living purposefully. Jesus came that we may have life and life in all its fullness. But we have to offer that to other people. You know, we are made for worship, we're wired for community, and we're purposed with the gospel. And this will involve laying down our lives. We're called to be salt. You know, salt's amazing. Makes all the difference to the taste of things. But salt loses its own identity once it's in the food. You don't see it anymore, but it's transformed the food. And we're like that. We might lose some of our sense of self. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. A bit like a crew on a boat. It isn't easy living on purpose for Jesus. You know, every person that was stood up here, so actually it's hard work. It involves putting ourselves out. There's a battle on a personal level. I forgot about this. It's a battle on a personal level, but we are equipped. We've been equipped. We have everything we need. We have the belt of truth with a breastplate of righteousness, our feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the Spirit goes with us whatever we are doing. We are called to be crew. It's more exciting than being a passenger. We're equipped to be crew. Actually, we're made for it. We're made for purpose. We will each have our own vision of our lives to a certain extent. We each have a sense of our own call that God has given us, but we are part of something bigger. I called this the aircraft carrier. Well, aircraft carriers, they're not lone monsters of the sea. They travel in fleet. We are called to something bigger. And when you look at that configuration, it's a bit like a chandelier. Kind of tenuous, but it's there nevertheless. I made the pictorial link. And there's another fleet. So, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 2.5 tribes, is where the rubber hits the road for us with our vision. Because our vision is too big for either one congregation or two congregations. So we have Healed Green meeting regularly on a Sunday morning, and we have Sail meeting regularly on a Sunday morning. But it's going to take so much more than that if we are going to see 1,000 devoted Christ followers transforming lives and communities across Manchester and beyond. And this is where the 2.5 tribes come in. We are equipped. We are ready for battle. But it's not just our own personal battles that we need to be fighting. If we want to take ground, then we're going to need to be fighting other people's battles with them. So when these four lovely ladies stood at the front here, each one representing a different part, that we're part of Manchester that we're already focused on, you might have sat here and thought, well, I'm Sail, that's not really my bag. Or I'm Healed Green, that's not really my bag. Or I'm Eccles, and I'd really rather not be here. I want to be worshipping in Eccles. Or I'm in Stretford. What about Stretford? And actually, there's probably other people here who have vision for different areas. But there's a lesson for us in how the Israelites did it and how God asked them to do it. And I believe that we are called to be the 2.5 tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh, with our fighting men ready to cross over ahead and help our fellow Israelites, to help achieve the goals and dreams that belong to someone else, actually. It's their promised land. Your promised land might be Healed Green. Your promised land might be Sail. But we each have a responsibility to claim the whole land for the Lord. And that's not a permanent thing. So Andy and I are in Eccles. Who knows? Maybe we'll move to Eccles. Quite open to that. We could probably clear our mortgage as well, bonus. But it might just be for a season and then we return back here. Nick and Sue are working in Healed Green. They've actually still live in Sail. It might be for a season and then they're back here. This isn't forever. So I'm not asking us all to shift out to different places that aren't our promised land. But what I am saying is, are we ready to serve a bigger vision? Now, people are already doing that. You know, when Miriam talked about Eccles Kids Club, well, my goodness, we are so blessed. We have Judith, we have Tim, we've had Suzanne Kelly serving us there, we've had Juliet serving us there. Actually, we've already got people who carry the 2.5 tribes with them inside, who are serving in other places. And I guess what I'm saying is that we all have to have that attitude if we're going to see our vision fulfilled. And so this morning, the question remains, who will you be? Who will I be? Am I crew? Am I ready? Am I part of the 2.5 tribes? Am I willing to serve a bigger vision? And I'd like to leave those questions with us.